We begin the current daf, Masechtas Gittin, daf Lamed Vav. We begin 11 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing our previous Mishnah. And that is, we spoke about in the previous Mishnahs regarding Tikkun Olam, different things that were instituted, specifically regarding the halachas of Gittin, but also in other arenas, where because of rectifying things in the world, they made certain institutions. Now, another one that the Mishnah mentioned was Va'edim Chesmin Alaget Memnei Tikkun Olam, that we have witnesses sign on the document because of Tikkun Olam. So the Gemara asks, Memnei Tikkun Olam? What do you think that their witnesses sign on a document because of Tikkun Olam, as if there's some worldly affair that we're concerned with, as if it's the rabbis that are doing this? Dei Raisa Hu, but it's a biblical halacha that the witnesses have to sign in the document. The Chassid, like it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah, which is in Tanakh. It says, V'chaslev ba'sefer v'chaslev, where Yirmi was forewarned regarding the exile that's going to be from Eretz Yisrael. And he was told, however, that the Jews are going to come back. And to prove that, I want you to buy something, and I want you to document it, have it written in a sefer, v'chasim, written in the document and have it signed. So I say already, biblically, there's a halachic concept of requiring the witnesses sign in the document. Why are we saying that it's tikkun olam? So Amar Rabba says, lo yitzricha l'Rabbi Lazo. The Mishnah is coming to explain according to the opinion of Rabbi Lazo. The Amar that he says, this is brought in the last paragraph of Pevav Med Aleph, Edei Misira Karti, regarding a get, a document, what creates the creases, what actually is what separates the husband from the wife, are, which is always in the Devar Ever or in anything that requires two witnesses, are the witnesses that create that. Now, Rabbi Lazar holds that even if there's no witnesses in the document, but as long as the document was given over in front of the Misira, the giving over was in front of two kosher witnesses, that is what actually is what creates the get, which is the document, and the document of the get is to create that separation, that creases, that divorce. Now, but Rabbi Lazar holds that the pasuk in Yirmiyah that says v'chasim b'sefer v'chasim is just good, it's just a good idea. But it's not a biblical requirement in the intrinsic validity of the get itself. And it's only tekin rabbanan, later on, the rabbis instituted, that ei dechasim emnei tikkun olam, that there should be witnesses signed in the document because of tikkun olam. But the biblical halacha of the document itself actually does not require witnesses. Now, the reason why, so what's the tikkun olam? The zimnin, the ma'isa sahadi, what can happen is that sometimes the witnesses that who verify the validity of the document, who are the ones that saw it being given from the husband to the wife, they might die. Then the husband's going to contest and say, I never divorced her. What's she doing with that document? Who said I ever gave it to her? Now, the ones who verified are the Eid Masir, but they're not around anymore. Or inami zimnin de azli medin zayam, or they might go overseas, and therefore they're not going to be around. So therefore, to prevent that contesting of the husband, we have witnesses which are generally the same Edom, the Edom Masir is signed in the document itself. Well then, even if they're not around, we can then verify their signatures in some other way, where people recognize it or from other documents, and then the husband won't be able to contest. That's the Tikkun Olam, which again, as the Gemara is explaining, is going according to Rabbi Lazar to have the witnesses signed in the document itself. Rav Yosef Amar, he says, actually, I feel a temelu emeir. We could even say that the tikkun olam, having the witnesses signed in the document, is going according to a mayor, who, although he holds biblically you have to have witnesses signed in the document, they're the edi chasima that karti, but there is a tikkun olam. How so? Hiskinu shiyu edim mefarshin shmoiseyin begitin. Yes, although biblically they had to sign in the document, but the rabbinic injunction was that they should specify their names, whether, let's say, it be Reuven or Shimon, in the get itself. That's Memnei Tikkun Olam. Kedetan, like Linda Bryce said, explains that Bereshayna originally, they wouldn't sign. Rather, Hayukaisev, each witness would write, Ani Pulaini Chasamti Eid. I am signing as a witness. Now, he wouldn't write who his name is. He would just write me, meaning, in other words, I am signing as a witness. Who are you? He would just write his handwriting. We see two different handwritings. We know these are two different people, two different Jews. And whoever these Jews are, they are creating the get. And they're believed because they're two witnesses. Now, but however, you run into problems that way. If what happens is, if let's say that the validity of the get is being contested. So since there's no name on it, so they didn't really know to when they have to then be mekayim the shtar, which is to verify that the witnesses are valid witnesses, because really anyone could go ahead and write with his left hand this way and write what looks like one handwriting and then do another one. So they didn't have any people that recognized or knew who the person was to be able to ask him regarding, is this his handwriting or not? Rather, what they had to do is they had to go through the whole stash of documents in court and check. Let's go see, do handwriting analysis, see does this match up with any other of the valid documents that are already in court that have already been verified and validated, where that's the one of the options besides when the witnesses themselves come and verify their own signatures. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubos Daf Chaf Mem Aleph, where you could only verify a document if not for the witnesses themselves saying this is our signatures with another document that was already contested and then was established and verified in the courts itself. So therefore the Gemara says from the Braisa that originally that's what used to happen. One guy would write, I am a witness, and the other guy would write, I am a witness, not saying who they are. Now, the only way they could verify it is by checking the handwriting with another of those handwriting in another document. Now, Vimla, apostle, if let's say these are first-time witnesses or they just didn't find that we're a matchup with other ones, the get would be possible because there would be no way of verifying it. Amar Rebbe Gamliel, so Rebbe Gamliel said, Takana gedoy lehiskinu, they made a great takana, which is, sheyu mefarshin shmaisein begitin, they took an island, that they should specify their name, who you are, because of Tikkun HaOlam. Oh, now that they really wrote, it's me, and they would write their name, Pliny ben Pliny, in the document, so now they can go after the people that are their relatives or their friends or people that know them to say, is this his handwriting? That's a very easy way of verifying because you know his circle of friends, you know who he is, and then you could find out that way. Because the other way is we don't know who he is to do the research. We just have to find if there's another document, and if not, we're stuck. So that could even be, according to Remeir, although the actual signing is not a Tikkun HaOlam, but the writing of the name of who you are, that's a Tikkun HaOlam. Now the Gemara asks, it sounds like that you had to write your name, but it's not enough to just make a sign where you don't write your name, that's your emblem, that's your sign, that doesn't work. And the Tikkun HaOlam was to write your name. But v'harav tzair chavra, Rav wouldn't sign his name. He would actually draw a fish. V'rav chanina tzair charusa, he would draw a branch of a palm tree. Rav chizda samach, Rav chizda with his name has a samach, he would just make a samach. Rav hoishe, who has an ayin, would write an ayin. Rav barav huna tzair machusa, he would draw the mast of a ship. So we see that even after the Tikkun HaOlam, that you didn't have to write your name, it seemingly you could even draw some type of sign. So the Gemara answers, Sha'ani Rabbana, the rabbis, the great Gedolim, they're different, the Bikin Simnayu, because everyone knows their sign. Everyone knows, that's this great Gadol signs, he just makes that ayin or that samach, so that's why it's valid. But other people, no one's going to know, okay, wow, so you drew a mast, we don't know what that means, who you are, it's not going to help us, then you have to write your name. Now the Gemara wonders, okay, but Meikaru B'mayafkinu, originally, how did people find out that these are their signatures? In other words, you can't say that because that's how they always had written on documents, because you said that the kana was that it has to be verifiable from what you're writing that it's you. So that's how most people have to write your name. Now these gedolim, everyone knows, oh, that's how he signs. But how do you know? It can't be from earlier documents because even those documents have to be written with a way that it can be verified that's who you are. So when he started doing the mast on the ship, no one knows who that is. After a while, everyone knows, oh, that's how he does it. So how did the word get out in the beginning? The Gemara answers, bediski, meaning that with great gedolim, there's many svarim called shaylas and tshuvas, where people ask them questions and they send responsa and also letters of greetings. Those they could sign however they want to, and that everyone knows because they ask them questions and they get, oh, interesting, that's how he signs his name. So by the time when it comes time to sign in the document, everyone already knows that's his signature, and therefore it's valid as much as a regular person signing his name. But again, that's what the Gemara answered. It could even be the Tikkun HaOlam, according to a mayor, and it was not just to sign the name, but it was to write your name, who you actually are. Now the Mishnah then said another takana was Hillel Hiskin Prusbul of Chulu. Hillel instituted what's known as a Prusbul. So the Gemara explains what this is. Tanan Hasam learned within the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, in Masechta Shviyos. It says Prusbul Einoy Meshamet. A Prusbul In other words, once a person writes a prosbul, so then the Shemitah year does not neutralize his loan and his debt on the Shemitah year. Which, although biblically that's the halach of Shemitah, but once you're at a prosbul, it doesn't do that. And this is one of the things that were instituted by Hillel the elder. They saw the people stopped lending people money. Because, what do you mean? I'm going to lend them money. He's not going to pay back by Shemitah, and then I'm going to lose all my money. And thereby, these people that were not lending anymore were violating what it says in the Torah Dvarim. He shamar lacha pen yidavim levavcha b'liyal v'goymer. Beware that lest there be amongst you in your heart something that's forsaking the yoke, and that is where you're going to look stingingly to your brother and you're not going to lend him the money that he needs. So people are violating this halacha. So amad v'hiskin prusbul. So Hill got up and he instituted what's called a prusbul. Now, how does it work? So the Mishnah says, "V'zeh ha'yugufi shel prosbul." This was the text of the document known as a prosbul, where the person says, and he writes this in the text, "Misrani lochem, I give over to you my documents, meaning my documents of the debts that are owed to me and the loans, to Pliny Dayan, and to you, the judges, Sheba Makam Pliny, that's in that place, where you're going to be the collectors, and I'm not going to be the collector. So that any debt that I have by someone else, meaning that someone owes me money, that I could collect whenever I want to. Now, later on, the Gemara explains that there is within the authority of the courts to remove the money of another person, who that's the debtor, and to give it to the other person who's the creditor, where if it's a place of some type of rectification and takana, which again, that there was a purpose over here, as he saw that people are violating the halacha of not lending money. So to avoid that violation, he made that Shemitah is not going to be meshamedit as a way of utilizing the technique of what's called hefker bez and hefker, as we'll see later on. They're allowed to say that it's not your money, it's that person's money, which, although Shemitah is meshamedit, but again, we want people to lend, so we'll say that even after Shemitah, we're going to give it your money to the lender. And v'hadayonim chesmen lamato oya edmen. On the bottom, either the judges could sign or the witnesses could sign. That's the text of the prosbul. That's how it works. Where the person's not violating Shemitah because I'm not, as it says, lo yigois, you're not allowed to go ahead and claim your money after Shemitah. I'm not. I'm giving over my shtaris, my documents to the courts, and they're going to be collecting. Now the Gemara asks, is it really possible, such a halacha, that biblically the Shemitah year cancels the loans? And now Hill comes and institutes that it should not cancel the loan, and thus he's uprooting a biblical halacha, because biblically he doesn't owe the money anymore. Now the rabbis come along and say that to uproot that and say that you have to pay that. Now Taisus points out, although that there is a drush in this Sefri, which says in Devarim Tezvav, which says that only if the loan that's owed to you is in your hands. But however, if let's say it's loaned on collateral, or specifically for our case over here, if someone's meisish the reis of labas, and if he gives over his documents to the courts, then there's no mishamtin, there's no cancellation of the debts, because I'm not collecting, I don't have the claim, it's the courts that have it, so that's actually what the text of the principle does. So it has an appropriate mechanic, so why is it uprooting biblical halacha? There's no Shemitah when it's meisish the reis of labas, and that's essentially what principle does. So Taisa says, but still, it's not appropriate to have made a takana, to teach people to do this, so that essentially you're uprooting the biblical law of hashmatas ksafim, of cancellation of monetary debts, because everyone's just going to do a prosbul. So that's really what the Gemara's question is that really could Hill have come along and basically done something that uprooted a whole biblical halacha of being meshamet ksafim? Because essentially now there's no more biblical halacha, because you just do a prosbul and you avoid the whole biblical halacha. So Abai explains, no, b'shvius b'zman hazeh. What Hill was masakin is in Shemitah in current times, because v'rebihi, Hill holds like Rebbe, and that is since that Shemitah, when it's mishamet amilva b'zman hazeh, is actually only rabbinic, so therefore, he's not actually uprooting a biblical halacha. It's only rabbinic, and the rabbis could uproot a rabbinic law. Now, Rashi points out, although Hill was in the times of Hill Hazakan, were the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, which seemingly that is not what's called Bezman Hazeh, and should be Shemitah Dairaisa, But Abaya holds that already in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, since there wasn't any more Yovel, which is every 50 years, so neither did they have, although they had Shemitah, but it was only on the rabbinic level and wasn't on the biblical level. The time, like learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehem, he says, the Pasuk in Devarim says, V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah, that this is the word, the halacha of Shemitah. Shamait, where it goes on to say that there's going to be a cancellation of all these laws. Now, B'shtei Shemitah is a custom of Dabin, and now that's redundancy, Dvar HaShemitah Shamait. So the Pasuk is talking about two types of Shemitahs. What does that mean? Achas Shemitah's Karka. One is the resting of the land, which is that gets canceled. You can't work the land. The Achas Shemitah's Kesafim. One is the cancellation, the resting of the money where old debts are canceled. So he makes the following comparison. Bisman Sha'at Meshamed Karka, Atem Meshamed Kesafim. When there is the resting of the land, then you have the resting of and the cancellation of the monetary debts. At a time when there is no more resting of the land, in other words, like today's times, when there's no more Kedusha Sa'aretz, once the Churban Beis HaMikdash is no more the sanctification of the land of Eretz Yisrael, so too there's no more halacha of Shemit in regards to monetary debts. Now, although that essentially really Shemitah's Kesafim should apply even Mizman Hazeh, because that's not halacha, what's called Hatlui Ba'aretz. It doesn't depend on the Kedusha's Aretz, because it's what's called a Chayves Aguf. It's a personal obligation regarding two people with money. However, that's what Rebbe's pointing out from the Hekesh, that it doesn't apply anymore, because the Pasuk compares the two Shemitahs to each other, and if the Shemitah of Karka doesn't apply anymore, because there's no more sanctification of the land of Israel, so then there's no more Hashmatas Kesafim either. Now, however, as the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, Fitakina Rabbanan did the Shamit. However, the rabbis instituted that even Bizman Hazeh, that there should be a Hashmata, that there should be the laws of Shemitah, Zecher L'Shvias, as a commemoration for the halacha, for the biblical halacha of Shemitah, which applied before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the reason why they did that was that the laws of Shemitah should not be forgotten. Now, Rahil Shanimnu Amel HaVazazeh, but now Hill saw that rabbinic law is actually causing people to violate the biblical law of not lending money anymore. So Amad V'Hiskin Prisbel, so he got up, he instituted a Prisbel, which that you could do. A rabbinic law of creating Shemitah, the Prisbel could come, and yes, uproot that essentially by avoiding the whole rabbinic law of Shemitah. So you really gain that. You have, now that people remember Shemitah, which was the purpose of the rabbinic law of Shemitah in the first place, but you also have that they don't violate the biblical halacha of Hisham Lucha Pen, that you're not going to lend money to people because they allow that through the Prisbel. And therefore, there's no problem with the Takana because it's not uprooting a biblical law. Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is only rabbinic. Now the Gemara asks the other way. Now that the way you explained it, according to Rabbi, that's where Hillel HaZaken was coming from, is it possible that biblically, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that Shemitah does not, there's no halach of Shemitah Bizman Hazeh like Rabbi? And now the rabbis made it that rabbinically there is Shemitah, comes out according to this Takan Rabbanan that the borrower is a thief because of the Takan Rabbanan, which essentially that's Gezela, which means to say because now Bizman Hazeh there's no Shemitah. So as Rebbe had explained, so when he lends him the money after Shemitah years, biblically he still has to pay up money. Now the rabbis could come and uproot essentially a biblical halacha of Gezela, because now he's going to be stealing by not paying back because of the rabbis. So Abaye says yes. Shev al tasu. This is what's known as sit and don't do anything, meaning passive, which means that this borrower is only stealing through inactivity. He's not doing an active theft. Now, he's just not doing the mitzvah of paying up the debt that he owes. So since he's not doing an active iser, that actually is permitted for the rabbis to do, to be oikar, davim and atar, as the Gemara says, let's say, for example, by Shafer or Lulav that we don't take on Shabbos, as the Gemara says, in Masechta Sivam Mastav Tzadim and Beis, where it's not an akir b'yadayim, it's not an active uprooting of a biblical law, it's just an inactive way of violating, that actually the rabbis have that authority to do, and therefore that applies in this case, where although yes, biblically he has to pay it back, the rabbis could say, don't do anything. And thus, although biblically you're stealing, the rabbis have that authority to say you don't have to, again, because of their institution of the rabbinic Shemitah, Bizman Hazeh. Now, that was one interpretation that we were saying that it was going like Rebbe. Rav Amar, he says that truthfully, you could say this whether like Rebbe or even like the Rabbanon that argue on Rebbe, and they hold that actually Shemitah regarding the cancellation of loans Bizman Azeh is Dairaisa. I mean to say, because they don't hold it as Hekish, although let's say there's no Kedusha Sa'aretz Bizman Azeh and there's no Halacha of Hashmatas Karka, but Shemitz Ksafim, which is a physical, unrelated to ground type of Halacha, would apply biblically even Bizman Azeh. Still, Hill was Mesakin that it should not be Meshamet. And also, obviously, according to Rebbe, who says it's not biblical and it's only Rabbinic that says Meshamet, there's no difficulty. Now, the reason for this is, says Rava, because regarding monetary law, there's actually no problem of what we were calling being Eker Davim in HaTorah. It's not uprooting a biblical halacha in a situation when the rabbis see it's fit for constructive takana type of situations, because of what's known, and this is what we mentioned before, of Hefker Bezdin. When you have Bezdin, the courts, declaring someone else's money ownerless, it's Hefker. It's considered ownerless. They have the rights over other people's monies. So there, but there's no real Eiker Davim in HaTorah. Mean to say, when although biblically, let's say, that the loan should be canceled and the borrower should not have to pay back, so how could Hillel HaZaken make the institution that the loan will have to be paid back? It's not violating the law. You're right, that he doesn't have to pay back. But we, the courts, which we utilize it through the medium of principle, we can say, it's not your money anymore. We declare your money ownerless, and now this guy go ahead and take that money. Now, we're doing that because we want people to lend money. But we have the rights to do that. Damer Bitzchuk, like Bitzchuk says, where do we know that the courts, if they say someone's money is ownerless, it's ownerless, and thus they can now award it to the lender? Shanam, like it says, the Pasuk in Ezra, which that Pasuk is talking about the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, which is the courts, the men of the great assembly, they said, whoever doesn't come within the next 3 days, katzas hasarm v'hazakenim, like the council of the ministers and of the elders, yachrim kal ruchushai, all his estate will be liquidated, and he'll be separated from the assembly of the diaspora. So you see from there that it was within the domain of the courts to say, your money is not going to be your money anymore. They have that right. And again, that's how it's working, even according to the Rabbanan that holds that Shemitah Bizman Azeh is Dairaisa, Rehil HaZaken could come and again, it's not uprooting, but rather just say, okay, you're right, you don't have to pay back, but we're making your money ownerless, and that's how it can go to the lender. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Hachi brings a different source for this, that Hefker Bezen Hefker, from a pasuk in Yeshua. It says, Ela HaNecholos Asher Nichalu Elazar HaKohen B'Yeshua B'Nun B'Rasha Avos V'Gemar. These are the inheritance that was inherited for the Jewish people with Elazar the Kohen, Yeshua B'Nun, and the elders that are the fathers. Now, the question is, what do the leaders of the Jewish people have to do with fathers? In other words, it should have just said Barashi Hamatis, the heads of the tribes. Why say Barashi Ha'aves, the heads of the fathers? Why that term? So on that he says, Lemelcha to tell you, Ma Aves Manchil Nesbeneim Komasha Yirtu, just like fathers could bequeath to their children whatever they want to, meaning they could divide it up as they please. So too the leaders of the Jewish people could bequeath to the Jewish people whatever they see fit. In other words, they could make that, although that's yours, it's not yours. What's called Hefka Bezen Hefka, again, only in the Makom of Siog and Geder when it's appropriately needed. And again, that was what was the case with Hillel HaZaken regarding principle, where they saw that need because people were violating the biblical precept of lending money. And to avoid that, even though Shemitah Bezman HaZek, according to Rabbanan, would still be Dairaisa, they were able to avoid the loan of being canceled by utilizing the halachic principle of Hefker Bezen Hefker. Now, Ibayilu had the following question regarding this halacha. Ki hiskin hil prusbul, when Hill instituted the prusbul, ladari hu detakin, did he institute it only for his generation? Or dilma ladari almanami takin, or maybe he instituted it even for future generations? Now, the Gemara is lamay nafkimin, what's the difference? In other words, we still go by that takana. Who cares if he made it for his own generation or if he made it for all generations? So the Gemara says, Livtule. The difference would be regarding if we could establish a court today, that in other words, if let's say the generations got better, what's called Achshadari, that now people didn't stop lending, people are into Chesed, they're doing all those things. Now, could we be Mavatal? Could we nullify Hillel's Takana? And that is, even if let's say someone would write a principle, it would still be Meshamedit, because that's really what the biblical law, let's say, is according to the Rabbanan, where biblically it should be canceled when it comes to Shemitah year. Now, maybe for his generation, people weren't careful anymore. But now that we have, people are very adherent to the law, and they would follow, and they would lend money, even if it was being mashamet, maybe we should go back to the old school and do away with Prisbal, and even if someone would write it, it wouldn't work. And the explanation is because Iyamrit Ladari Huditakin, if you say he made it specifically for his generation, and that we're just like following along that, then we can nullify it because he didn't make it for our generations, and therefore it doesn't hold any, there's nothing that would stop us of nullifying it. Now, Eli'i Amrit Ladari Almanami talking, but if you say he instituted for all future generations because he saw that what's called Yiridus Adaris, people are not going to lend money anymore till when Mashiach comes, then we run into a problem. Because Ha'ein Bezdin Yachalavatl Divri Bezdin Chaveirai, a later court cannot nullify the earlier court's decision. Elim ken godel hemen b'chachma obeminin. Only if they're greater in wisdom and in number, which we don't have that. So the question is, my, what was his takana? Was it only for his generation, and then maybe we could do away with Prisbal? Or it was for all future generations, and then we cannot be done. The halacha of Prisbal is here to stay. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya, because the Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, loikas zvinon Prisbal. He says, we don't write a Prisbal. In other words, the authority of removing a person's money, in other words, which is what Prisbal does, that it takes away from the borrower, although there's halacha of shmita, and it gives it back to the lender, says you can't write up such a Prisbal, eli'ibe beidina de sura, only in the bezin of the place of sura, which is where Rav was, or ibe beidina de narda, or in the place of the courts of narda, which was where Shmuel was. That's what Shmuel said. Now, on that, the Gemara proves, but if you say the hill instituted for all future generations, so then you should be able to write in all courts, because in other words, he foresaw it's for all future generations, and those courts are obviously not going to be as great as his courts, so any court should be able to write it. Obviously, it sounds like that it was only based on the premise of his generation, and that's why only Shmuel and Rav could do it. So seemingly, it's because it was made for all future generations, and therefore we cannot Bimavatal the takana of Prisbal. That the Gemara says, no, not a raya. Tilma ki tilken hil ladari alma. Maybe that, yes, maybe he did institute it for all future generations. But when he did do it, kigoin beidina didei, similar to his own court. In other words, ukrav ame v'ravasi, like the courts of Rav Ame v'ravasi, da'li milafku b'mayna, that they're strong and they have the authority and they have the wherewithal to remove other people's monies. Those are the types of courts, which is what the concept of the precept of Prisbal depends on, that of being able to get the money out of the borrower to give it back to the lender, even though the halacha shmita says he shouldn't be able to. Aval kuliyam aloy, but maybe to all other courts he didn't institute it for those types of courts because you're not able to do it anyway. So we didn't invest you with the authority of writing a Prisbal. So it's no raya. Could be he did it for all future generations, and again that's why you would not be able to nullify the Prisbal, again, not like the Havimina, which made it sound like it was only for his generation, which that would allow us to be mevatel the Prisbal. Could be it was all future generations, but only for a bezin that it was like his bezin, which was able to get money out of people. So Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring a different riot. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel said another comment about Prisbal. He says, Ha Prisbula, this Prisbal, Ulbana de Dainehu. It's the Ulban, which Gemara will later on explain as the terminology of chutzpah, it's the audacity of the courts, where essentially they're really taking money inappropriately by force from another person. Because Shemitah says it's canceled, and how the courts now come and take from the borrower and say, you got to give the money back to the lender? Says Shmuel, I'ayash chayil, if I will have the strength, if I'll end up getting the enough power, avatline, I'm going to nullify this takana of Prisbal. So obviously, says the Gemara, we see that Hillel did not make it for future generations. Because if he did, how could Shmuel say, Avatline, I'm going to nullify it? But that's the problem, he says, V'ain bezden yochelevatl divri bezden chaveroi. But a later court cannot abolish a previous court's edict, elim kein godlo men b'chacham minyan, unless they're greater in wisdom and number, which Shmuel's bezden was not. So how could he say that if he gets the enough garnering, enough votes, whatever, he'll go ahead and nullify Prisbal, because how can we do that and take away someone's money, which we have no right to? But how can he do that? Obviously, it's that Hill did not make it for future generations. And therefore, seemingly, like Shmuel wanted to do, we could be Mevatel Prisbal. And that Gemara says, no, Hachikama, what Shmuel was saying was, Imayash Echal Yoisim Hillel,
which he said that if I'm going to become more powerful than Hill, meaning that I'll have a bezin greater in Chachma and a minion, then Avatlina, then I'll nullify it. In other words, no raya. Could be Hill had done it for all future generations, but Shmuel was still wanted to be Mevatlet because he said that if I'll have a bezin that's godly imenu, which then you're allowed to, then I'll be Mevatlet. Now, Rav Nachman Amar actually Akayamna. Rav Nachman said that if I have the wherewithal, I'll sustain that, this takana of Prisbal. Now, the Gemara wonders, Akayamna? What do you mean? What do you mean you're going to sustain the Homekai Makai? It is around. What do you need to solidify it? It's already here. So on that, the Gemara says, no, what Rav Nachman was saying was, Ema b'milsa, I'm going to say something regarding a Prisbal. In other words, I'll make a court and I'll make a takana to actually take the Prisbal one step further. Shmuel was like, we got to get done with this Prisbal. It's inappropriate. Rav Nachman would say, no, I actually like it. I want to actually, if I have the authority, I'll make it even more stronger, that I'll say that any lender should be as if he already gave over his documents to the courts, and that is the afagav deloy kasav, that even if he did not write a Prisbal, kikasav dummy, that it should be like he did write the Prisbal. In other words, he liked the Prisbal so much because it was so helpful that it had people lending money, that even if someone forgot and didn't write it, it should be like he did write it, and it should be automatic, already implemented, that as if he already has the halacha of the Prisbal. Now, going back to the terminology that was mentioned before, Ibailu, that the following question, when Shmuel didn't like the Prisbal because it's ulbana d'daini, hi ulbana, lishna d'chutzpahu, what is the definition of ulbana? Is it a term of audacity, of chutzpah, of brazenness, or lishna d'nichusuhu? Or is it actually a term of convenience? What would that mean? It would mean that Shmuel was complaining about the Prisbal, where the whole purpose of the Prisbal seemingly is just for the convenience of the judges, so that they shouldn't have to go through the effort of collecting everyone's loans before Shemitah, because everyone's going to be clamoring, saying, give me my loan, I want to get paid up, because once Shemitah comes, it's done with. Now, so therefore, they made this takana of Prisbal, saying, no, don't worry, you don't have to bang down the doors of the Bezdin, you'll be able to collect after, we made this thing called Prisbal, and that's why Shmuel was saying, no, if I have the authority, I'm going to mevatel this thing. What is this? How can you do such a thing? Because it's inconvenient for you, that's why you're making a Prisbal that people are going to be able to collect afterwards? What do you mean? Shemitah is Meshamet, the Ksafim. How can you go ahead and do this takana of Prisbal? So which one is it? Is it Chutzpah or is it Nechusa? So the Gemara said, Toshema will bring a ride to Amma Ula. Ula said, and we see the Shoyrish over there in a different context, that it says Aluva, which again is obviously from the term of a Chatzufa, how audacious is a Kala, a bride, Shezinsa Bekerv Chupasa, that she's actually Mezana, she has an illicit relationship with another man by her own chuppah of her chasna, which is an allegory relating to when the Shekhinah and Klal Yisrael were Bahar Sinai, which is the chuppah, the Jewish people made the eagle, which is the same idea of consorting with, as if with another man. Now, the reason for this is because the Jewish people actually didn't leave from Sinai until after they had erected the Mishkan in the second year, as it says, Vahi Bashana Hashenis Bachidish Hashani. Then it says, Vayisu B'nei Yisrael Maseim B'midbar Sinai, and it was during that duration that the Jewish people had sinned with the eagle. So they were still by the Chuppah, by Har Sinai, and they were Mizana, meaning they had strayed after the eagle. But one thing that we see is that the term Aluva is a term of audacity, and therefore Shmuel was complaining. He says that it's Aluva D'daini, how audacious are the judges that they go ahead and take money from a borrower who after Shemitah shouldn't have to pay up, and therefore he felt it was inappropriate, and therefore that's why he wanted to be mevatel the takana of a prosbal. Now, continuing on this theme of what Ula had said, which we introduced to bring a raya that the term aluba means chatzufa, Amrav Mori Berad the Bas Shmuel, who is the son of the daughter of Shmuel, says, Mikra, what's the pasuk where you could expound this concept that Ula was talking about, that the Jewish people were like a kala that was mezana by her own chuppah? It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that says, Ad sheha melech b'mesibay, while the king is still by his party, by his chuppah, nirdi nosin reichay, my fragrancy, my aroma had already lost its good smell. I mean to say, we were still by the chuppah and already there was already a bad smell here. We had already done something, being mezana with the egel, while we're still by Har Sinai. Now, however, Amar Rav says adayin chavivusuhu gabon. However, although the pasuk mentions the downgrading and the desecration of the Jewish people, but it's still said in a way of showing endearment to the Jewish people. Because the chsiv nasan, the pasuk says, nirdi nasan reichay, that it gave out its smell, But like Siv Hisriach, it doesn't say that it's spoiled, that it got ruined. To say that although that, yes, we there's something that for the rest of time we're going to be sitting with this Chela Egel, but Hashem still loves us and He still considers us His Kala that He married and that He still remains married to. Now again, related to this word Aluva, Tanaban Lunna Braisa, Hanelovin, those that other people act chutzpah to, meaning to say that they're embarrassed from other people, the einan olvim, but they don't go ahead and embarrass other people. Shemin cherpas and ve'ein meshivin, they hear their disgrace, they get bizyonis, but they don't respond. Aisin, they do the mitzvahs of Hashem me'ahava for love of Hashem, not to get reward, not because they're afraid of punishment, just because they love Hashem. That just the fact that you gave me life, I just love you, Hashem. V'smeichin be'yisurin, and they rejoice in affliction. They realize that this is their life. This is what's going to make them great. Alein akasavayim is regarding them that the pasuk says in Shaftim, v'oyhava of those who love Him are ketzeis Hashemesh begvarasai. It's like the going out of the sun and its might, where the sun is just being everything that it is. That's exactly what the person is. That's from Hana Lovim, the Im Ovim, again, where people act disregarding and disparagingly to him, but he doesn't go ahead and do that to other people. That's a person that Hashem considers from one of His people, Ketzeis Hashemesh Bigvarasai.